everyone. Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm not your host. I'm going to pass this off to your host this week, everyone's friend, Joel Luckup. How are you today, Joel?
Yeah, let's get this clear. Chad's being lazy this week, so I'm going to run the show. No, I'm kidding. Here's the thing. The Reds are not a good team, and we kind of reached this low point in the team's history that we haven't really reached in the last, I don't know, say 5 or 6 years, 7, 8, I don't know. The direction of the team is not in a direction that we're particularly happy with. So we're going to do things a little bit differently today and flip the switch, and I am going to run things here, and I'm going to ask Chad some questions rather than the other way around. How do you like that, Chad?
I'm a little nervous about it, frankly. You're going to expose my lack of knowledge about the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay, Chad, who is third on the team in strikeout? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. don't come on now, man. You're already making me look bad. Are you there? Hello.
You know what? They put these mute buttons on these headphones, and they put them in the most, the spot where your arm always likes to rest. Sorry about that.
Well, you're some host, Joel.
I'm coming out with a bang. I was going to say, Todd Frazier is third on the team in strikeouts. And so speaking of Todd Frazier, we are recording this on Sunday evening, and we just got some excellent news about Todd Frazier. He will be starting the All-Star game here in Cincinnati as the third baseman. He turns out he had quite a dominant lead over Matt Carpenter, over 2 million votes more than Carpenter, which is pretty cool. And it says a lot about how motivated Reds fans can be when you just ask them to do something, don't you think?
Oh, well, absolutely. I think it's just amazing. That blew my mind. I thought that Frazier would get there given the direction the voting had been going the last few weeks. And every time the new results came out, Frazier had been inching closer and closer to Matt Carpenter and obviously deserved to be the starter. So I felt like we sort of had the, we're on the side of good and pure here. We actually had the guy who really deserved to start for once.
Right.
And then, you know, the Reds sort of got behind it, and you got to give, I tweeted it out a moment ago, Lisa Braun with the Reds, she's the sort of social media genius, and Reds fans stepped up to the plate, and I thought that Frazier would win. I thought that he would get the starting nod. I just sort of had felt like that was a, inevitability, but wow, almost 2.1 million votes ahead of Carpenter. I didn't see that coming. I mean, I think it's just a real testament to, even in this year that's been a little difficult to endure so far, to what Reds fans can do when they're motivated a little bit. I'm happy about it. Really excited to see Frazier getting the start at Great American Ballpark here in a week and a half.
In fact, he was the third highest vote total in the National League, which is pretty impressive given the fact that, he wasn't even the leader a week ago at his own position, and he was 2 million votes behind about 3 weeks ago. So, that's really goes to show, if there's one thing that I think the Reds do very well is I think they handle, for the most part, they handle social media very well, and they know how to use that in order to empower their fans. And they do things like the Vote Reds lunch, which was really kind of the Vote Frazier lunch, but they do that kind of stuff because they know it's important to fans to see their own, their favorite players out there on the field. And by doing, doing that kind of stuff, you get these positive results, which is nice to see.
It is good to see, I mean, we're excited about the All-Star game anyway, getting a chance to showcase the city and all the great things about Cincinnati. But it's, if we hadn't had a guy in the starting lineup, we would have survived.
Yeah. I imagine that if Matt Carpenter had been the starter, he probably would have played three innings or so, and then Frazier would have been brought in for the remainder of the game. Because, Bruce Bochy, regardless of wanting to win the game, and it's not like putting Todd Frazier in there less in
right.
Team, but, I think he also has an appreciation for what it would mean to the hometown fans to see Todd Frazier. It's not, and this isn't in a case like in 1988 when we all wanted to see Chris Sabo come out there and play third base, and he was really kind of the third baseman on the roster. Frazier really is, like you said, deserving of playing in the game. and obviously deserving of starting. I mean, there really is only one other third baseman in the league, and that would even be competitive in terms of like the debate of who's having the best season at third base, and that's Nolan Arenado, who finished fourth in the voting behind Chris Bryant and Matt Carpenter. So, good job, Todd Frazier. You know, you're one of the few bright spots on the offensive side this year. So, you know, very happy for him. And very happy to see. Actually, you know, there were how many red? There were Joey Votto finished second at first base. Brandon Phillips finished third in the voting at second base. Zach Cozart actually finished fourth in the voting at shortstop. And even, you know, Jay Bruce and Billy Hamilton were in the top eight in the outfield. So, you know, Reds fans really came out and supported their own. A good thing to see.
Yeah, you know, and those guys sort of were riding Todd Frazier's coattails, no doubt, but really good to see that happening. I want to talk more about why Frazier deserved that third base nod in just a moment. I think you're right, Nolan Arenado, although Chris Bryant's had a pretty good season as a rookie as well, but you mentioned that 1988 All-Star game. Can I just vent a little bit?
Uh-huh, go for it.
I have a long history of complaining and whining about things on this podcast, so you're just going to have to endure it again. You know, I'm a teenager in 88. I'm watching this All-Star game, and I'm just, you know, as teenagers are wont to do, I guess most teenagers are, you know, sort of get enthralled with other things other than Reds baseball. But Chris Sabo was my guy at that time, and I wanted so bad to see him play. And Whitey Herzog was the manager, the Cardinals manager. This is where my hate of the Cardinals really started to really just, you know, become something that was going to stick with me the rest of my life. You know, Sabo pinch runs, and he gets a stolen base, and it's fun, and it's exciting, whatever. He can't do anything more than pinch run Whitey Herzog. Put him in the game. Let him hit.
Well, you know, I think you were fine. I mean, I kind of agree with you. You know, as a hometown fan, you kind of want to see your guys. You don't necessarily want to see them play the whole game, but you want to see them get that opportunity to kind of do something cool. And I very well remember that moment of Chris Sabo being in the game. And I too was a teenager, and I too thought that it was pretty cool that he got to steal a base. But really, you know, was a little disappointed that he didn't get to do more.
Does it say something about me, and I don't want to know what it says about me, but does it say something about me that 17 years later I'm still upset about this?
You know what? It doesn't. I'm not sure that it says that much, except that, you know, you maybe hold grudges a little long.
way too long. Whitey Herzog, you'll never be a guest on Red Leg Nation Radio.
Yeah. Well, one cool thing about Todd Frazier is that he's only the second Reds player ever to have 50 extra base hits at the All-Star break, and he's actually got a week to do it, or a week to pass Johnny Bench, who had 54 in 1970. So that's kind of cool. You know, Todd,
it is.
You know, I mean, we got to pick at little things. And that's one reason why I told Chad that I would like to host this week is because you know, because of my job as statistician for the TV broadcast, I tend to have a little more of a media perspective, even though I'm totally still just a fan. But I do, you know, I hear things differently or I see things differently because I'm either down at the ballpark all the time or because I'm having conversations with people who have had – I'm having secondhand conversations rather than just reading about stuff. And I wanted to ask Chad a few questions about just being kind of a pure fan and where you feel like as a fan, and you don't have to be analytical about it, just as a fan, where you feel like the team should be, how you feel about where they are, and do you feel like it's going to be worth it to be a fan over the next 3 to 5 years if they don't do something one way or the other to change things?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm. I want you to be honest because, you know, I think sometimes we get a little too wrapped up in trying to say sound smart and sound intelligent about how we look at the game. I want you to, like, dig deep down into the essence of being a fan and tell me what you think on that.
I'll try. You know, I am a fan. I don't know if I'm the pure fan that you just talked about, but I am a fan, and I've from the time that I started writing, that I opened up Red Leg Nation over a decade ago, my whole goal has been just, hey, you know, I'm a fan. That's my perspective, and here's the way I see things. I've got no insider perspective, and as a fan, I'm really nervous about the next few weeks, to be honest with you. I think that I'm concerned with what I'm seeing from the organization. Again, with no insider knowledge, I think that the Reds, there are two ways they really could go here. I think they could go all in on what we would, a lot of people call a fire sale.
Mm-hmm.
If they do that, again, I think that it's going to be heavily dependent on how they conduct that. And I'm not particularly excited about Walt Jocketty conducting that fire sale. Although he's had some success in his trades with the Reds so far. I guess if you want to look back at the Latos and, well, you know, the Alfredo Simon deal. I mean, there are some deals where you can see that he's maybe helped the Reds, what I would call the future, I guess, for the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm nervous. I don't like dealing away Johnny Cueto. I know why they have to do it. I wish they didn't, because as a fan, I love Johnny Cueto. Mm-hmm. Love watching that guy pitch. I want him to be a Red for the next 7 years. Is he going to be worth it to the Reds, what it's going to cost to sign him? Probably not, when you consider what percentage of the budget he's going to take up and the fact that he's had injury issues in the past and even this season. It's probably the smart move to deal him. It's the smart move to deal Chapman. I would have dealt Chapman 2 years ago if they weren't going to start him. So I guess the other way is maybe they decide to sign Cueto long term and go all in and maybe even be buyers at the deadline.
All right, let me pose a scenario to you, and I want to see how you respond to it. All right, let's say they trade Cueto, and in the return they get somebody. We'll say a bat. Let's say I'm trying to think of where a good position would be. Let's say a decent left field prospect, for instance.
Sounds good.
All right, so they trade Cueto, they get a decent left field prospect who's probably got, let's say, 2 years before he, you know, it won't be 2016, but he'll be on the opening day roster in 2017. He's got star potential, but, you know, some rough edges. Okay.
Okay.
And then, you know, whatever, they get maybe another relief prospect or something like that. I mean, the point is not to try to judge what Johnny Cueto's value is. Say they also trade Aroldis Chapman, and in the Chapman deal, they get a couple of really live pitching arms. All right.
Okay.
Both of whom, you know, comes out, Keith Law says that day, well, these guys are going to end up in the bullpen. But he also feels like they're going to be very good, very good relievers, you know.
Right.
They don't trade anybody else, all right? They don't sign Mike Leake in the offseason. Are they in position, from your perspective, do you think they're in position then to be competitive any time that would make you happy?
Probably. You know, again, and we're talking from the perspective of a fan.
Mm-hmm.
As a fan, I am sometimes can be accused of being overly optimistic about what I hope is going to happen with the Reds. For example, my opening day predictions every year, I go way overboard because I think I want the Reds to do well. I can talk myself into seeing how that helps the Reds, say, in 2017 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you think, well, you know, the Reds aren't going to be able to sign Cueto anyway. If they can get a guy that might be a starter on the next good Reds team, that's the way I look
mm-hmm.
at it. Is this guy going to be a contributor on the next good Reds team, the next playoff Reds team? I can live with that. If you give me two live arms for Chapman, I'd probably take it, because what good's Chapman doing us, frankly, right
mm-hmm.
now, is the way I look at it. I would hope you can get I don't know what his value is in the open market. Maybe you can steal some really good prospect for Chapman right now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can talk myself into believing that is the best thing for the Reds. But, you know, if you flip that around and say, let's sign Cueto to a 4-year deal or whatever he's going to demand, I can talk myself into believing that too, because I love watching Johnny Cueto pitch.
Right.
You know, and he's a great pitcher and he plays for my team.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that may not be the best thing for the next 5 years, the Reds, I think the best thing probably is, as much as I hate to say it, probably to deal him and see what you, probably the best thing would have been to deal him in the offseason.
Yeah.
Truth be told, or even before, when you could get a little bit more of a return. But
so you would be fine if the only two deals they made were Cueto and Chapman, and essentially, I mean, okay, here's a question for you. Do you feel like, what do you feel like the team needs to get back in return if they did deal those two guys? Now, I'm not talking specific players or anything like that. Where do you feel like the Reds need to direct their energies?
Okay, if I'm running the team,
mm-hmm.
everyone listening to this podcast needs to thank their lucky stars that I'm not running the team because I'm an idiot. But if I'm running the team, the places that to me are the biggest concerns over the next 3-4 years are going to be left field,
mm-hmm.
unless you think Jesse Winker can fit in there. He might. He's hitting great in the last month and a half in Double A, I guess. And second base. To me, those are the two places I'm most concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, obviously, you always need pitching. A bullpen, I'm not that concerned about. I feel like you can sort of craft a bullpen out of spare parts you can find everywhere, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but teams can have crafted good bullpens without spending much money. So to me, I'm looking for middle infielders, second base, shortstop, although I love Eugenio Suarez. Mostly I love seeing his name.
Mm-hmm.
His defense has not been great. He's hit well since coming up to Cincinnati, but I think he's a long-term piece. So I want a middle infielder, I want a left fielder. The Reds know more than I do about whether Jesse Winker's that guy for left field.
Uh-huh.
But I see no prospects for middle infield other than Suarez.
Well, here's my feeling on Jesse Winker. Jesse Winker and Jay Bruce are probably only going to play 1 year together at the most. So even if you think Jesse Winker is the left fielder of the future, you probably need somebody to replace Jay Bruce then.
Still need another outfielder. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So either way, if you think Jesse Winker is the future of your outfield, you probably still need to get somebody else. I mean, I know Kyle Waldrop's had a decent minor league career, but and he may be that guy. But I'm thinking if you have a chance to get somebody who can turn into another great bat, and I'm not completely sure Waldrop's that guy. If you have somebody that can turn into that, or you can acquire somebody, I think that's the direction you should go. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I think really, in some ways, regardless of the position, if you can get a really good bat, somebody that's going to be a really good bat over the next 3-4 years, I think that should be your number one. If you're Walt Jocketty, if you can get that, I think that should be what you're driving for.
Yeah.
And not that our pitching staff's in great shape, but there are some pieces that I think you can put together a decent little rotation over the next few years. That we've seen some of them this year with the Red.
Yeah.
And so I'm less concerned about the rotation than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
Cueto's absence.
I'm optimistic about a rotation that's built around Stevenson and Lorenzen and Iglesias and Bailey. I'm optimistic about that kind of a rotation.
DeSclafani?
DeSclafani, yeah. I mean, and realistically, if guys are pitching, up to, some level of their 75-80% of their potential or whatever, DeSclafani may be the number five there. And if DeSclafani is your number five, I think you're sitting pretty well. It's kind of like when Mike Leake is your number five. I mean, I think DeSclafani may be a tick better than Mike Leake was. At their peaks, but I think
we probably also don't have a Cueto at the top of that.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the downside of it. You don't have a Cueto, you don't have a Latos in there. I think and I said this on the last podcast. I think Lorenzen has that potential because he's so young as a pitcher. He's still. He's learning. Jim Day had a quote from him yesterday or Friday where he asked him what he feels like he's learning, and he's like, I'm not even sure what I'm learning yet because everything's so new to me still. That's the fact that Lorenzen is having success already and has this potential to kind of develop more is very positive. So I think if I'm, and I know I'm the host and I'm not supposed to be doing all this analysis, but if I'm, being honest or realistic, Stevenson's got ace potential, but he's so, you know, he's still got to turn that corner.
Right, exactly.
You really can't talk about him being an ace eventually until he starts coming up to the majors and having some level of success.
Until he does.
I think I look at him and I think he's got ace potential. Whether he can put it together, that's a whole other thing, but he's got that potential there. And based on what the success that I've seen, once he learns to really pitch, he could be a pretty tough pitcher to face on a regular basis. And I'm not saying he's going to be the next Johnny Cueto. That's not fair to do to anybody. But he's got that potential to kind of be that frontline starter. And I like that. I like to watch him pitch.
Yeah, he has the tools. I mean, we don't know whether he's going to get there, but he has the tools. And the thing I like about Lorenzen is, man, this kid has just learned how to pitch. He's not pitched a lot in his career, you know. He played a lot of, I guess he was a center fielder, I think, in college.
Mm-hmm. He was just a reliever. He was a reliever. He was a closer in college. They brought him in out of center field and say, hey, come in and get a couple guys out. So all he was doing then was just throwing it as hard as he could. So,
right. So he's just learning, mm-hmm. and clearly a boatload of talent. So, I think I'm with you. I think if Stevenson can, I'm not predicting that he will. He's got all the tools, but if he can become sort of the ace-type guy, you're looking at a staff that's got five guys who, we've not even talked about Tony Cingrani, who, you know, they say they're going to start him some, stretch him out, maybe let him start some of the rest of this year. I don't know if he's going to ever be a starter, but there are some guys that you could put together a decent rotation. The guy I like is a guy who is in a single A at Daytona, Nick Howard, who has a 7.13 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
Reds number one draft pick last year. He went to college at the University of Virginia.
So you're a little biased on him then.
Let me talk a little about the University of Virginia.
You mean the
National 2000? So go say it. I want to hear it.
The National Champion University of Virginia.
The National Champion University of Virginia Cavaliers. But Nick Howard, he's not done well this year in his first full year in the minor league. He was the Reds number one pick last year, but he's a guy who was a reliever in college as well, who they've tried to convert into a starter, and mixed results so far.
But here's one.
I just wanted to talk about UB. I didn't really want to talk.
No,
about
but
UB.
Well, I want to. The Reds kind of get criticized a little bit online about this trying to convert relievers into starters. And here's one thing I want to say about that. If a guy is trying to be a starter in the minors, then he's focused on developing more pitches, and if he ends up going back to the bullpen, having three pitches instead of two can be much more, it can be so valuable to a pitcher. I mean, look at how much more dominant Aroldis Chapman became last year once he got that changeup in there. And he doesn't use it that often, but having it there really makes a difference for him. And so, I think that's I appreciate the strategy that they're doing. In trying this out with some of these, with certain pitchers, trying to convert them into starters, because the fallback is putting them in the bullpen. And if that's what happens, it's better than, at least you've tried and failed rather than, and failed in the minors rather than, just not tried at all. Aroldis Chapman.
Exactly. That was my number one argument for converting Aroldis to the starting rotation. If it doesn't work, darn, you've worked on other pitches, and you can put him back in the bullpen where he is now. But the upside of if it did work is that you got a frontline starter, a left-handed flamethrower. But nobody listened to me in the Reds organization, for which I cry myself to sleep every night. But, yeah, you're right. I don't have any problem with – I'm all for criticizing the Reds, but that's not one reason to criticize the Reds, trying to convert these relievers
mm-hmm.
to starters. And in Lorenzen's case, it's really looking like it may work out. I hope it does in Nick Howard's case as well, last year's first-round pick. We'll see. But either way, University of Virginia, national champions.
Okay, well, since you've gotten us sidetracked anyway, let's talk a little bit about the All-Star festivities that are coming up.
Let's do that.
Both Chad and I, as I recall, you're doing the whole shebang, right? I mean, you're going to hit FanFest, and you're going to hit the Futures game, and you're going to hit everything.
Everything except for the All-Star game. Don't think I'm going to make it to the actual All-Star game.
Come on, you don't have billions of dollars just floating out of your ears?
If somebody wants to float me some tickets for me and my family, I could probably swing it for just me, but I've got my entire family that's tagging along with me all week into the Home Run Derby and everything, and my son would never forgive me if I didn't take him If I went to the All-Star game and didn't take it.
Yeah,
doing everything but the All-Star game.
You're going to be walking around and you're going to see somebody scalping one ticket and you're going to be like, see ya, son.
Yeah, and I'll never live it down for the rest of my life.
All right, so the Fan Fest starts on Friday. Do you know what day you're going to that yet?
I'm not sure yet. Probably maybe more than once, actually, depending.
Yeah.
But probably Monday.
Mm-hmm. I haven't figured out when I'm going yet. I was actually talking it over with my wife at dinner today. We think we're going to go Sunday, perhaps, before the Futures game. But I'm not sure what time the Futures game is at. So do you know that one?
I'm not sure either, but we thought about maybe doing Sunday as well. But my daughter's got a softball tournament Saturday.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
I'm not sure. I know. If they make it to late in the day into the championship, then we may get a late start getting up there. So, but if not, if they lose early,
mm-hmm.
and I'm their coach, so they probably will lose early, then we may go Sunday as well. So.
All right, so here's my question for you. You're going to the Home Run Derby. I, too, am going to the Home Run Derby with my son, who is really looking forward to it. Should I buy a Todd Frazier jersey before the Home Run Derby?
Well, I don't think there's even a question there. Obviously, you should.
Because right now I have three jerseys, I never buy Reds stuff that has players' names on it because I'm an old guy. But in 2010, I got all wrapped up in the excitement. So I have a Joey Votto one, I have a Scott Rolen one, and I have a Johnny Cueto one. And I was weak that year. I've had the red shirts, but those are the only ones that have players' names on it. Besides my world famous John Koutlangas jersey that I bought for $25 at Reds Fest,
worth every penny.
And I'm actually quite certain that I'm going to pull that out at some point during the All Star weekend. I may actually wear that to the All Star game just in honor of the Cooter. So anyway, I've been debating because my son has a Todd Frazier jersey, and I thought, you know, it might be kind of cool for dad and son to have their Frazier jerseys at an individual event like the Home Run Derby. Now, I wouldn't, you know, if it was a real game, I'd feel a little weird because, you know, I like all the guys, but I think it's cool to be a homer at the Home Run Derby. So.
Oh. A quote-unquote homer.
Yes.
At the Home Run Derby. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely need to do that. My son doesn't have a Frazier jersey. I may have to get him a jersey. I may have to get him one of those. He's got Votto, and he's got Bruce, and he's got his favorite player, by far his favorite player, Brandon Phillips.
Yeah.
Brandon Phillips is probably not going to be in the Home Run Derby, is he?
I don't see any indication that he would. The 340 slugging percentage would probably preclude him from being selected.
Don't criticize BP. My son may be listening.
That isn't a criticism of him. I mean, you know what? Real quick, I will say this. Brandon Phillips has had a fine season for a guy that has lost his power. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do as a player. You know, he's definitely adjusted his game. He's hitting, you know, line drives and stuff. So don't take my 340 on base or slugging percentage crack as being anything more than just pointing out a fact.
No, I'm with you. And we've sort of criticized BP on this podcast over the years many, many times. But I have no issues with Brandon Phillips this year, frankly. His defense has been good. My son would not let me criticize him at all. My son plays second base on his team, and he wears number 4. And although I will say that their season ended yesterday, my son's team, and you know, his on-base percentage for the season, that his coach just texted me a little while ago, 525.
Woo!
Not bad.
That's getting it done. That's almost as good as the Brewers was this weekend.
Yeah, not quite.
And I should correct myself. It's 370, not 340. His slugging percentage is 370. 340 is, you know, that's Brian Pena, actually.
Exactly.
Sorry.
But, you know, and when I said a moment ago that I think the second base or middle infield is one of the places the reason he's looking, it wasn't a criticism about what Phillips has done this year.
No, he just doesn't have.
I can live with it.
Yeah. He's not.
Next 3 or 4 years.
Well, I mean, he's only got 2 years left on his deal, too. So, I mean, it's if you're thinking about the future, if you're thinking about what your needs are going to be in 2017 and 2018 and beyond that, you know, trying to get – if you've got a chance to get a frontline middle infielder, do it, especially because, you know, good middle infielders. If you're a good enough athlete to play shortstop or second base, you're probably a good enough athlete to play an outfield position too.
No doubt, as Billy Hamilton has shown us.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, get a Frazier jersey. I'm with you on that one. I'm probably not going to get one. My son, though.
I like that. You should get one. I wouldn't, but you should get one.
I've got every Reds uniform or jersey, every Reds batting practice jersey they've had for the last several years, but none of them have a name on the back. I just, I don't know. I haven't done that, but I may get one for my son, and I may get one. My daughter, the only one she wants every year is, she says Todd Frazier's her favorite player, but every time she asks for a jersey, she asks for Aroldis Chapman. Yeah. So she's going to be wearing her Chapman when we're there.
So, okay, so here's the question. I got two questions, and then we'll close this out.
Let's hear it, Mr. Host.
Number one, who are you looking forward to seeing in the Home Run Derby besides Todd Frazier?
Well, I don't know who's going to be in it yet. The guy was really...
I know. That's the point. We don't know who's going to be in it. So who would you like to see in it?
Sure. The guy I was really, really, really looking forward to. And it almost brings you to tears that he's not going to be there, is Giancarlo Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to see that guy so bad. So I guess, the guy is Bryce Harper?
Bryce
Harper going to be in it?
Yeah, Bryce Harper told the press today that he didn't think he was going to do it.
No! that doesn't help me any. I'm a big fan of Bryce Harper, I got to admit. What about, let me see here.
You know who I want to see? Who's kind of off the radar maybe a little bit is
Todd Frazier?
Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson, yes.
Because Jock Peterson, outside of Giancarlo Stanton, Jock Peterson hits more long home runs than anybody in baseball, outside of Giancarlo Stanton. So if you can't get Stanton, then I hope they put Peterson in it, because the boy can hit the ball far. And I've never seen him play, because the Dodgers haven't come to town yet.
Well, the guys I would say, if Harper and Stanton aren't there, the guys I'd obviously are Trout. I don't know that Trout would be in it, but Mike Trout is just a freak of nature. And Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know that Paul Goldschmidt's ever been in the Home Run Derby, but he's sort of a guy that nobody understands is a really, really good hitter.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see him get some sort of publicity. I love watching that guy play.
Uh-huh. He's a lot like Joey Votto was in 2010. He was a great player that people were just learning about. For the most part, I think diehard baseball fans, know about Paul Goldschmidt and have for a couple years. I mean, he missed part of last year with a broken hand or a broken wrist. I'm not sure what it was. But, the fact that he's having such a great season, I think I agree with you. I think it would be good for him to come out there and finish second to Todd Frazier.
Man, that'd be perfect. Really, truth be told, the guy I'd really love to see is a guy that's got 17 home runs this year. I don't think he'll make it to the All-Star game this year, but... If Edwin Encarnacion, I'm the only guy in Cincinnati that was a big Edwin Encarnacion.
No,
fan.
You are not.
I know, but sometimes I feel like it.
No, that would be good. No, I agree.
I would love to see Encarnacion.
And what would be even more awesome is if he did the parrot run while he was for no reason.
Exactly.
Like he hit one and he didn't care, and he just did the parrot run.
Oh, dare to dream.
All right, so my last question, going away question. We're not gonna worry about the Reds anymore. Is about the All-Star game, the actual game. And I know you're not going unless somebody drops tickets on the ground and you pick them up and don't tell them that they dropped them.
Four tickets. If anybody's got four tickets, let me...
feel free to drop them anywhere around the city of Cincinnati, and Chad will sniff them out. What are you looking forward to seeing? What? Give me a prediction on what the coolest moment of the All-Star game is going to be.
One of the things this year that's really sort of amazed me is that, until sometime earlier this season, Bryce Harper had never faced a pitcher that was younger than him in Major League. I'm looking, and maybe I shouldn't like Bryce Harper. He seems like a little bit of a sort of prima donna. I don't know. Everybody seems to hate him. But I love watching that guy play. I'm looking forward to Bryce Harper just sort of coming out on a national stage and being Bryce Harper. I mean, this guy has put up, according to FanGraph, 5.4 wins above replacement this year up to this point. I mean, this guy is amazing. And, if you haven't noticed, he's a young guy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to him sort of coming out and on a national stage showing what he can do, because that guy just blows me away. I would also love to see Johnny Quest. I don't know how it's going to work out. Really, my biggest dream would be Johnny Cueto get the start in a Reds uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Let me note that. But get the start and pitch well. And that may or may not be his swan song as a Red, but as much as I've loved watching Johnny Cueto pitch over the last few years, it seems to me like that would be a great way to watch him go out.
Unfortunately, as the schedule falls right now, Cueto would be pitching next Sunday. And
well,
by rule, he would not even be allowed to pitch in the All-Star game at any point, whether he started or not, you know, as a starter or not.
I know. You asked me to dream.
No. I'm saying, you know, as that is right now, I have to think that Mr. Castellini is nudging Brian Price to say, you know what, let's go ahead and bump his start and not have him start on Sunday. I have to, you know, just because, and I don't, to be honest, I do not think that Johnny Cueto would start. Max Scherzer is just having too incredible of a year right now. In terms of who has earned that start, if we're just basing it off of a half, in fact, I mean, it's not really even a half season. Max Scherzer's been a great pitcher for a few years now. But I think it'll end up being Scherzer who will get the start. I don't know when his last outing will be before the game. But it would be nice, though, to be able to see Johnny Cueto come in there one more time in a Reds uniform in the All-Star game and see what, you know, just to – you know, give the fans a chance to give him a thank you on a national stage. I think that would be a great moment.
Well, my thing is, in some years I would be like, are you kidding? You'd be willing to give up a regular season game that Cueto could pitch in order to let him pitch in the All-Star game? The Reds are going nowhere this year. Okay, whatever. Man, I would love to see him start that All-Star game. And that if they trade him, that'd be the send-off. That's sort of my dream scenario of the All-Star game. I don't think it'll happen.
Right.
I'm like you. Scherzer's been amazing. Cueto is scheduled to start on Sunday, so we'll be able to pitch. But still, that's my dream scenario.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm looking forward to seeing Mike Trout. Mike Trout versus Bryce Harper. And I think that's going to be one of the big build-ups nationally outside of Pete Rose. I think that's going to be one of the big ups during the broadcast is going to be this Mike Trout versus Bryce Harper. And I hope one of them robs a hit from the other one or back and forth or whatever, because those kind of moments to me, those are the most fun when they kind of give each other a look and, you know, mentally flip each other off and that kind of stuff. I think that kind of stuff is fun. So that's what I'm looking forward to, be outside of, you know, the potential moment of, you know, if there would be a chill-inducing moment for as a Reds fan, it would be that one chance to say thank you to Johnny Cueto on national TV. I think that would be pretty awesome. I hope he gets picked for the team, and even if it's just to tip his cap and let the fans applaud him while he stands on the foul line. I think that would be awesome.
I agree. I agree 100%, and I hope that happens. And with respect to Trout and Harper, please, I love those guys. Those are I love watching those guys play as much as anyone in baseball that doesn't wear a Reds uniform. But
and you know, speaking of young guys, you know who's having a pretty awesome season is Manny Machado too. So you know, I'm guessing he's going to get selected as a reserve. So you know, you're going to have a few 20, 22, or 22, 23 year old guys out there on the field, and that's always fun. It's always fun to have some youth in the game and showing you how things can be done.
Absolutely. Glad to see Machado sort of bouncing back this season, having a great, 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 great mm-hmm. year. So, yeah, that's, baseball, hey, it's fun. You know, got some young guys that are going to take the place of some of these old guys that are there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful sport. Am I right?
Yeah, and you wouldn't know it from this weekend in Cincinnati, but it is fun to watch baseball. Well, that's
pretty much we did a whole podcast there, Joel, and we really didn't talk about what happened this week with the Reds. So, you're a great host. Good work.
That's going to do it for this this podcast of Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm your host this week, Joel Luckup, and I guess I'm supposed to tell you to subscribe. I don't know. Subscribe to iTunes. Is that how it goes?
Sure.
I don't use iTunes, so I don't know how that works. So you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Can you get to it on Stitcher? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
okay. Or just use the RSS feed that's on the website.
There you go.
You know, whatever. Listen to it because it makes us feel like our lives aren't meaningless. Thank you, Chad Dotson, for allowing me to host this week, and thank you all for listening. And please listen again if we ever do this again. So that's it. You can click the little button thingy, and we'll end this.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.